Welcome to Unraveling, a podcast which has been created to speak openly about the messy truths of life. I'm your host, Lauren Barber, and my intention for this podcast is to express my own real life experiences and that of my guests in a raw and authentic way. It has become a passion of mine to speak honestly and vulnerably about the ups and downs that many of us experience in this roller coaster ride of life. That means huge celebrations and earth-shattering rock bottoms. The reality is we feel and experience it all. Unraveling strips away layers of conditioning, shame, fear, and worry by opening up the conversation to talk about the subjects that are sometimes hidden away. This means you can expect total, open-hearted, truthful discussions about what it really is like to be a human being. Thank you for joining me on this beautiful, but sometimes chaotic, journey of unraveling. Now let's head to the show. Hi everyone, welcome to this episode of Unraveling. Today I am going to talk to you about breastfeeding and my journey with breastfeeding, my journey when not breastfeeding, all of the feelings and the lessons and the realizations that I have learned through this breastfeeding journey. So as I record this, my little girl is now just over 4 months, so she's nearly 4.5 months actually. So we're just coming up to 20 weeks since she was born, which seems kind of mind-blowing, but anyway, whole nother conversation. And I wrote a blog at when I was just coming up to 8 weeks eight weeks since she was born, and she it was a really healing blog for me to write. It was about my journey with breastfeeding and why breastfeeding hadn't worked for me personally. And now with a few months on from there, there's more insight, more learning, more kind of reflection on the process, and it felt like the right time to record a podcast as well, because I think speaking about it also is another layer of healing for me, but also maybe will reach someone that didn't read the blog or just needs to hear this today. So yeah, to begin with, I guess starting at my intentions around breastfeeding, I always had the expectation to breastfeed and the intention to breastfeed. I kind of imagined I'd be one of those people that breastfed their babies until they were over a year old, and that it was like going to be this really beautiful bonding experience and this incredibly powerful experience as a mother, and also the best thing for my baby girl. And I didn't really, I suppose I didn't think about it that much. I did think, oh, well, you know, I'll take it as it comes, and I hope that I can breastfeed. But I also tried not to put too much pressure on myself. But I think I did inadvertently put quite a lot of pressure on myself now on reflection. One of the things that I guess is worth mentioning is that obviously there is a huge amount of publicity and discussions around how breastfeeding is the most, you know, is best. Breast is best. That is a campaign that is often shared. And I can totally see that approach, and I really, really have probably always been in that camp of thinking, yes, breast is best. And on one hand, I agree wholeheartedly that our own breast milk, feeding our babies, is absolutely the best thing that we can give them. But having now experienced what I've experienced, I would question whether it is really fair to say best, perhaps in terms of the actual formulation of breast milk over formula, then perhaps when you look at it from like that simple perspective of the actual kind of the actual milk itself, then yes, I would probably agree. But there are a lot of other factors to consider in that. And for me, mental health was a huge, huge part of my breastfeeding journey. And actually, for my mental health, breastfeeding was not best for me, and therefore was not best for Sophia, or our whole family, because actually it put me in a very difficult mental state. But I'm going to go back to the beginning and start the whole story, just so you get the full picture and the full experience. During my kind of birth preparation, I did NCT classes, and they were fantastic. I would say the biggest plus to doing them was meeting an incredible group of women who we, you know, who have been my absolute rocks at times and have been incredible to be around, such inspiration, such support, and have turned into really, really good friends. And so for that reason on its own, I'm a real advocate of NCT classes. However, one thing that I found was, well, it's not a however, I found that we had a breastfeeding session as part of the curriculum, I guess. And it was a really lovely, amazing session, probably one of the most informative sessions that we had throughout the course. It was led by an amazing lactation consultant. It was really informative. We had all our questions answered, but it didn't fully cover what happens when breastfeeding doesn't work for you. And one thing that I found that I came away from that session with that I hadn't had before was this belief and this thing that I'd been told, that everybody can breastfeed. And up until then, I'd thought, I had this, sort of slightly different belief. I had this perspective that I will breastfeed if I can. But when I went to that session, I genuinely came away thinking absolutely everyone can breastfeed. And that was actually the words that were told to me. I was told that, you know, everybody can breastfeed. And so therefore, in my head, it was an absolute, you know, that was going to happen. It was, you know, why would I not breastfeed? If everybody can do it, then surely, like, I'll be able to do it. What wasn't explained, I guess, in that session was the emotional side of breastfeeding, the physical sensations of breastfeeding. Now, I have, again, many people have said, and I know that this is probably often, you know, lots of people do question this, but breastfeeding shouldn't hurt. If you're doing breastfeeding right, it shouldn't be painful. That was something I was told over and over again. So when it came to me beginning my breastfeeding journey, and I'm sort of skipping around here, but when it came to that, I was really shocked at how uncomfortable it was for me. I'm not saying it is for everyone, but I was really shocked at that. And then, and also the emotional impact that it had on me. So skipping back, I had Sophia at the end of September. And she pretty soon, like when I, after I'd given birth, the midwife helped me to sort of try to help me get her to latch on, but straight away it wasn't happening. So she just helped me syringe some colostrum and give that to Sophia to kind of keep her going, I suppose, until I moved up to the postnatal ward. Now, once I got there, having tried a few times on my own in the delivery suite, I sort of sat down on the bed and I shifted around. I'd kind of moved by then. I'd got the confidence to sit up and move around, and I found a few different positions and I managed to get Sophia to latch on and feed. And it felt like the most incredible win of all. And she continued to do that. Like every time that she awoke in the night, she continued to do that. And the midwives came in the next morning and were like, oh, we were expecting to hear from you. And I was like, well, we seem to be doing okay. And they came and they checked the latch and they said, yep, all looks great. Everything looks fine. And you know, if you're happy with the feeding, then you can go home. And I was like, well, I'm happy with the feeding because, like, I don't, it seems to be okay. It seems to be working. So we packed our bags, we went home, and actually the feeding was okay. It was, you know, we kind of were getting by, and it was working, and it was challenging. It was uncomfortable. There was a lot of physical sensations. But she seemed to be happy. She seemed to be content. And all seemed to be swimming. And I was like, wow, okay. You know, I was expecting it to be harder than that. and in my naivety. So a couple of days passed. I think it was about day 3 or 4. And I was, the breastfeeding was getting very uncomfortable. Now, I was told that it doesn't matter what size your breasts are. And what kind of nipples you have necessarily, but I have quite flat nipples, and I also have large breasts. And when I'd just given birth, they were very large, like obscenely large, and to the point where I felt like they were actually hindering the position that I could get into to feed Sophia. And I felt like I was literally suffocating her. So I was really conscious about that. And I was trying some different positions, and each time I fed, I was getting more and more uncomfortable, more and more upset by this discomfort. And Sophia was getting upset, and she was clearly not able to feed properly. She was getting quite like upset and angry and frustrated every time I put her on the nipple. And I was getting in more and more and more pain. I was finding it really uncomfortable, and I think maybe where she was latching, she was also like had a really strong suck. So she was literally kind of sucking the life out of my nipples, and she then ended up blistering them. Because the latch wasn't quite right, she was effectively like biting them with her gums, which was what a lot of the pain was. And this caused quite a lot of damage to the nipples. So they were cut, they were blistering. And I'm not saying this to terrify anyone about breastfeeding. I would say if I could go back and do anything again, I would have a lactation consultant with me there, like in the room, practically on the very first day. Because the midwives were great at the hospital, but they're busy. They don't have the time to spend with you. And had I had that time, and then maybe things might have been different. I mean, I'm not going to look back with regret, but you know, if I could give any advice to someone who wanted a breastfeed, I'd say hire a lactation consultant as soon as you can to help you get the confidence with that, and to help you get the latch right, to avoid the pain and the damage. Because once the damage was done to my nipples, I couldn't really let it heal because I needed to keep feeding. And so I was in excruciating pain every single time she latched on and I fed. And this was creating so much anxiety in me because I was dreading every single time she would wake up or want feeding, or every time she had fed for a period of time and then seemed to kind of drop off and was full and then would come back wanting more. And I felt fear, I felt anxiety, I felt just utter hopelessness, really. And I felt in a really bad place, being not able to feed my baby, and not actually, if I'm totally honest, not wanting to feed her because of the pain and because of how much discomfort I was in and because of how low it was making me feel. But then at the same time, then absolutely berating myself with guilt because I felt like I should be able to do this, and I was failing as a mother because I couldn't feed my own baby, and watching her being upset. You know, every single time Will would bring her to me to feed, I would be crying, like virtually hysterically, because I was like bracing myself for the pain. And of course I was bracing against it because I was expecting the pain, and then therefore she was really upset and fighting, and that was making it worse. My neck and shoulders were locked up with like tension where I was kind of hunching. It was just, I was physically in a lot of discomfort. I think it was on the fourth or fifth day, I contacted a lactation consultant. So the lady who had very kindly, through NCT, had very kindly given her number to me in case I needed her. And I messaged her and I was like, I really need some help. I'm really struggling. And she came within maybe a couple of hours of me messaging her, which was just amazing. And she came and she looked at our positioning and she looked at us, and she helped me find some positions, like taught me how to get her to latch, and she fed properly, and it was uncomfortable, it was painful, but it just felt like, oh, I can do this. Thankfully, I can do this. She made me feel so much better. However, a couple of hours later, after she'd gone, and when we tried again, I just, you know, the pain was back, the anxiety was back, and this spiral of shame and guilt that I was putting on myself, and pain and tension, and just feeling like I couldn't do it. That was just like this perpetual cycle, which was just feeding my anxiety. And I was already in a vulnerable place, you know, a couple of days after giving birth, there's a lot of things going on, like physical healing, emotional healing. There's the, I would say the spiritual side of things, where I was kind of in the part of me that was sort of like letting my old self die and rebirthing myself in my current reality. And it was like that in between place. So emotionally, I was just kind of right in the depths of the murkiness, right in the mud, shall we say. So after a couple of days of this lovely lactation consultant coming back and trying to help and coming back and trying to help, and there were kind of mini breakthroughs, and things would work again, and then it would be uncomfortable again, and then I'd be back in this anxious state, and it was kind of this continuous cycle. The mornings were the worst, and I'd literally sit there crying and crying before she even got to me, because I would be so anxious about how much it was going to hurt, and then I'd sit there and I'd have to breathe. I had a flannel with some essential oil in it that I was literally inhaling every time she latched on, because I was in so much pain, and I couldn't look after my baby when I was in that state. I could not mentally and physically look after her. I wasn't coping in any shape or form. And I had so much support from friends. I had lots of people, and I kind of kept talking about the breastfeeding and, you know, what I should do. And I really wanted someone to say, just stop, stop breastfeeding, because it's not helping your mental health. But of course, no one's going to do that for you. I had to kind of go through my own journey with it. And there is a lot of pressure on new mums to breastfeed. And there's a lot of, you know, there's a lot of media around breastfeeding. And I do, you know, I am the person that really advocates it. I do think it's incredible, but only if it's not at the detriment of your own mental health and physical health. And by this point, my nipples, even though I was using nipple shields at this point, and my milk had come in, I'd had, you know, because I'd had problems in the beginning, she had dropped to less to 13% of her body. She'd lost more, 13% of her body weight. And they expect the babies to lose, I think, up to 10% in that first few days. But because she'd lost 13%, that was another kind of, I'd guess, kind of a little stab at my worthiness as a mother and not being able to keep the weight on her. And so again, I was like then panicking that she hadn't put on enough weight and that I was not being a good enough mother. And actually, it turns out that because my milk had come in a bit late, she then put on quite a bit of weight over the next few days when my milk did come in, because she was feeding, and dropped to sort of only losing 6% by the Sunday. So it was all fine, but those couple of days were then more anxiety about not being able to feed properly and there being something wrong. So I was continuing to feed with the nipple shields. I was expressing as well. So what I'd ended up doing, because the nipples, I was basically flipping between breast either side, because one would start to heal and I'd be able to feed off of it again, and the other one would be completely blistered and bleeding and in agony. So I would pump off of that one. So I was still expressing and being able to give her the breast milk, but then we were being able to give it by bottle. So we continued this for a few more days, and I was kind of spiraling down into a lower and lower place, to be honest. I really didn't want to let people down. I especially felt like I didn't want to let Sophia down, and I also didn't want to let Will down, because he had so much faith in me being able to do this. And it was really hard to think that I couldn't, because I had kind of got to the point where I just didn't think I could do it anymore. And I just felt like it was harming me and harming my relationship with Sophia and with Will as well, because I couldn't even contemplate leaving the house. I just felt anxious all the time. I felt so low. There were moments where I just would stand in the shower and just cry and cry and cry and just think, like, I can't do this. I can't do this. I'm in so much pain. And I was so through this process, I seemed to have quite a lot of blocked milk ducts, and I kept kind of finding the fatty deposits in the breast pump. And I do now look back and think that was probably a big part of, you know, the problems I had, because by the 10th day, I had developed mastitis and I was in agony, and I was also feverish. I had a temperature. I was shivery. I basically felt like I had the flu, and it came on so quickly. It was sort of like I was feeling a little bit low in the morning, but I just put it down to just being a bit low. And by, I think, maybe 2 o'clock in the afternoon, I couldn't move off the sofa, let alone even think about feeding my baby. And my nipples were, I mean, I don't want to be too graphic, but they were literally shredded and in pieces. And my friend had come around, I think, the night before, and she'd seen my nipples when I was feeding. And up until then, I'd had this belief that, because everyone said, you know, it's normal for them to get a bit sore, it's normal for it to be uncomfortable. So I just sort of thought that it was normal what was going on. And she looked at them and was like, that's not okay. You know, that is quite severe. And I don't know how you're doing that. And I was like, oh, maybe I actually do need to look at how I can heal these. So I tried to give it sort of 24 hours of just expressing with the pump and not actually breastfeeding, just to give them a rest. And it worked for a bit, but I was pumping practically continuously in order to provide enough milk for Sophia. And I just thought, this isn't sustainable. Like, Will's going back to work in like 5 days. How can I possibly look after a baby and express this milk all the time? So the next day when the mastitis arrived and came, I went to the doctors and he said, you need to go on antibiotics, otherwise there's a strong chance you'll be admitted to hospital. And I was like, well, I definitely don't want to be admitted to hospital. So I said, I'll take the antibiotics. And at this point I think we'd even given her some formula by this point, because I just, obviously she needed to feed, and I could not even lift off my jumper to like show the doctor without being in floods of tears. And I think a lot of it, yes, it was a physical pain, but emotionally I was just absolutely at rock bottom. So we'd given her some formula. I personally, and this is a complete personal preference, but I personally didn't want her to have antibiotics through my milk. So I decided there and then that that was it. That was going to be the last, there was no more breastfeeding. It was formula from then on. And I would just pump to reduce the mastitis and get rid of the milk because it had the antibiotics in it. And that would be that. That was the end of it. And it was literally as quick as that. It had been on my mind. I'd been thinking, okay, maybe we'll combi feed her so that I can still breastfeed. She still gets that. But actually so that she's also getting the milk, like bottle feeds as well. And Will was able to do that, which was lovely. And I'd always planned to express and bottle feed for a period of time once she was maybe about 6 weeks anyway, just because of me being able to work and to do things and to give Will that opportunity to connect with her as well. But I guess it fast forwarded quite drastically. And at 10 days, I stopped breastfeeding completely. And I had to go through a really intense grieving period because there was so much of me, there was a lot of me that like didn't want to give that up, but at the same time I didn't feel like I had a choice. Now I know I did have a choice, and I think even saying I didn't have a choice is a disempowering way of looking at it, because I did have a choice. I chose to stop because it wasn't conducive to my mental health. It wasn't helping me be a good mother. It wasn't giving me the it wasn't supportive to me. It wasn't helping my relationship with Sophia. It was actually hindering it. It wasn't helping my relationship with my husband. It was hindering it. It was completely and utterly tearing me apart in just not knowing what to do. I felt in such turmoil, thinking like I should be able to do this. I kept telling myself things like, oh, if this was 100 years ago, she would die because I couldn't feed her. And I just kept saying like, I kept beating myself up and up and up about the fact that I couldn't do this. And that sounds so extreme, I know, to think that, you know, like that she wouldn't survive because of me. But that's how I felt. I felt like I was a failure. And I had to let myself be with that for quite some time. I mean, so I say quite some time. It got easier every day, and I spoke to other people, and actually the midwife, the health visitor, my doula, my friends, they all totally agreed and saw that my decision was the right decision for all of us. But it took me so much time to make peace with that. And I still think I still feel that grief. One of the things that makes me very sad about me not being able to do it anymore is feeling like I didn't get to fully kind of finish the process, if that makes sense, because it was so abrupt. It was like I don't remember the last time I breastfed her, so I didn't get that kind of that moment of like staring into her eyes and seeing her like feeding from me, because it was too painful. I don't remember it. I blocked it out. And it's really, you know, it's had many effects on me mentally, to feel like I had to stop, but I know it was the right thing to do. And it just highlighted to me that sometimes the decisions we make are not always what we want to make them, and they're not always comfortable. But actually I had to almost sacrifice my perception of what breastfeeding meant as a mother in order to step in to be the mother that I needed to be and that I want to be. And not having, you know, there were moments where like I do remember some really magical moments with us breastfeeding, and I'm really grateful for that. And I'm continuing to talk because it is a really raw subject and I don't want to hide this part of me, even though it's very vulnerable. I do remember, you know, moments in the hospital where it felt really empowering and seeing her for the first time, like swallowing my milk was just incredible. And knowing that I did give her that, like I do really anchor into that, the fact that I managed to give her some, and that's really powerful to me. But it's still, you know, there's still a lot of sadness around it. However, I absolutely 100% would make the decision again. And I know it was totally right for us. And she is thriving. She is happy and content. She is an absolutely incredible little being. And I'm so grateful for her for being her and accepting me as her mother, even though I couldn't do what I felt like I should be able to do. And that to me is, I'm really grateful that she's chosen me and she is like still unconditionally loving me throughout that. And she's teaching me to unconditionally love myself through that as well. Yeah, so I guess since I've made that decision and since I haven't been breastfeeding, and now it's been, you know, like 18 weeks that I haven't been breastfeeding, it's, you know, most of the time I just am so grateful for the experience I'm getting, because it's led, there has been so many positives to me not breastfeeding. And I do think sometimes that's not spoken about. The connection that Will has with Sophia is equally as powerful as my connection is with her. And I don't know that it would be so if he hadn't been able to feed her. And it's also given us a lot more freedom. It's given me a lot more freedom to be me as well as be Sophia's mum. It's enabled us to get into a little bit more of a routine, which is quite important for me and my mental health. It means that that Will can do bath and bedtime and that kind of ritual in the evenings, because she doesn't need me to be there for him to feed her. So they get that really important time. It's meant that we can prepare and we can it's meant that we can be a family and there not be any feelings like I'm the only one that can comfort her or can soothe her. It's really impacted and given us a really beautiful experience. I won't pretend that there's still not many times, you know, I see someone breastfeeding on Instagram and I can't help but feel a touch of sadness that that's not me. I see people talking about breastfeeding and feel sad that that's not how our path went. I feel sad for it, but I don't feel regret. I don't feel that it's unfair. I don't feel an injustice. I just feel sadness. I feel there's an element of grief. I feel, you know, slightly triggered when I read articles that come through on my emails from, you know, the big kind of mother brands, and they're like talking about how breast is best, and I challenge that, because for me breast wasn't best, for Sophia it wasn't best, because it meant that I wasn't in a good mental state and I wasn't able to be her mother. I wasn't able to stare into her eyes and give her the love that I wanted. I wasn't able to cuddle her and hold her and laugh with her and watch her grow, because I wasn't in that place when I was breastfeeding. I wasn't able to do that. I was in such turmoil and in such discomfort emotionally and physically. I wasn't present. I wasn't able to be there. And I have walked for miles and miles with her on my chest, and I felt that sacred connection of her heart space on my heart space. That is powerful to me. That has been just as incredibly bonding as anything. I have still managed to, you know, have skin to skin with her. We have giggles every single morning. Like, I wake up and I look at her and I'm just so grateful. We have been able to alternate feeding in the night every evening, so we both get rest, so we're both able to mentally cope better. And some, you know, for some people that doesn't matter, but for us it's important. It's important for us to be able to thrive as a family. And I wouldn't say that I am fully like grateful. Well, I am grateful for the experience, because again, it's taught me a lot about many different things, but it's not something I would have chosen at all. But it has been a very powerful lesson for me. Another lesson in surrender, which has been my lesson throughout the whole of my pregnancy and already so far in motherhood, to surrender expectation, to let go of this. I guess I had a lot of, I felt a lot of shame working in the world I do and doing the work I do, which is very much about women's empowerment and being strong, you know, being connected to the earth, and obviously being a yoga teacher and in this very holistic way. And my ways of eating have always been as natural as possible and as whole food based as possible. And it felt very there was a lot that I had to work through in order to give my baby formula instead of my own milk. I had to really lean into that and really surrender my perception of what it meant to be a good mother. And it's made me more empathetic, more compassionate towards others and our own individual struggles. Like, we all have them, and this was mine. And I'm sure there'll be others, but this was a big one for me, and it's really given me a lot of insight into my judgments, I suppose, my judgments of others and expectations and this idea of what the perfect mother looks like. And the truth is, as a lot of people said to me, a happy mother is a happy baby. And you have to do what's right for you. You have to make the choice. And that's the empowerment process, is you make the choice, and don't feel like you have to do something because other people do or other people say. It's got to be your choice, and it's got to align with you. It's got to feed and fuel your what's best for you, because we as mothers need to be nourished just as our babies do. And if we aren't nourished and we aren't feeling strong in our mental health, even if we're tired, and physically tired as well as emotionally tired, like if we're not nourished and we're not working on our mental health, then we can't show up as the mothers that we are, you know, the best mothers that we can be. And there's another campaign that says fed is best, and that actually however you feed your baby is the perfect way. And how amazing is it that we live in a world where we do have choices and we do have options, and we can feed our babies formula if we need to, or we can choose different things. I think, you know, that's something I'm very grateful for. Yeah, I don't know if there's anything else to say at this present moment. I think I've shared everything, and I really appreciate you listening this long. I know it's quite a rambly conversation, as my podcast episodes often are, but I wanted to just share very openly my experience with it. And I think this process will continue for me, this process of grieving parts of me or parts of motherhood that I expected to experience. I don't see that every, you know, when I do have those pangs of sadness or grief because I'm not breastfeeding or I haven't breastfeed, I do, you know, I honor those. I let them be there, and I don't try and push them away and pretend that they don't exist by positive language, because there are many positives to me not breastfeeding. But it is also, it's totally valid to feel sad that I'm not breastfeeding, and that's okay. And then equally, there are many people that don't want to breastfeed right from the beginning, and that's also an empowered choice. You know, we have the ability to make choices, and there's unfortunately a lot of shaming on mothers. And I think it's wrong, to be perfectly honest. I think any form of calling someone out or saying that one way is better than another way, therefore potentially making someone feel like less of a mother or less worthy of being a mother, I think anything that could do that is harmful and wrong, to be perfectly honest. There is no right or wrong way to feed your baby, but it is wrong to shame a mother because of a choice that she makes. And I have really learned that, and probably learned that through, you know, I probably would have judged beforehand. And that's me just being very brutally honest, because I was misinformed, I hadn't experienced it. And it really makes me think about, you know, my perception in general. You know, where might I be judging things subconsciously that is not necessarily looking at the whole picture? And that's a great insight. I feel like I'm really pleased that I've seen that insight now, and I hope that I can carry that forward and continue to learn from that. So that's where I'm at with the breastfeeding journey. And I guess the crux of it is that we have to choose what is right for us, what is right for our mental health. And mental health is something that is so paramount as a mother, because there are a lot of factors that make us quite wobbly and vulnerable. Tiredness, a new identity, effectively kind of a death of ourselves and a rebirth of ourselves, and in that process we need to be looking after our mental health just as much as physical health, and just as much as our baby's health, because it's very easy to put all your energy into looking after and caring for your baby and then forgetting our own. But we have to mother ourselves as well as mother our babies, and that's a big learning curve for me. And something I'd heard before, but now I really appreciate. So as always, I am very open to continuing this conversation with anybody that feels like they would like to message me or email me or get in touch in any shape or form, or give me another perspective, or maybe share an experience that you've been through. I'm really open to that. I have created this podcast just to have very honest conversations. And this is where I'm at today and where I'm at in my breastfeeding, in the journey of motherhood and in this feeding journey. And in the next few weeks, I'm kind of thinking about weaning. So Sophia will be moving on to, well, not moving, you know, she'll still be having her milk, of course. But we'll be introducing some flavors and some food to her. And that's a whole nother chapter. And at the time when I was in the breastfeeding murk, I suppose I could call it, it was easy to just be so wrapped up in that. But time moves very quickly, and then there's another phase. And this, the breastfeeding phase is a very small one in the grand scheme of our babies' children's lives. And so we need to be as present with them as possible. And I guess in a year's time, things will look very different to me. So who knows where we'll be at that point. But this is my journey so far. And I'm really honored that you've listened for this 40 odd minutes ramble. And I'd be welcome to any responses. I am so grateful that you chose to listen to this episode of Unraveling today. If you enjoyed this conversation and want to make sure you never ever miss an episode, then please subscribe on your favourite podcast platform. And if you want to get in touch with me, then the best place to do so is on Instagram at laurenbarber.co or through my website, www.laurenbarber.co. And if you haven't already, make sure you sign up to my emails, which also gives you access to a free library of meditations, workbooks, yoga nidra practices, and other tools of transformation. Until next time, keep trusting the beautifully chaotic process of unraveling.